watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
Chaos Springs Eternal is a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes, disturbing imagery, and horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you wouldn't mind comprehending some horrors with us, I think you'll have a good time. Hello and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal, Season 1, City of Woe!
Whoa!
We're halfway there indeed.
One of us is living on a prayer.
Yeah, you all are kind of living on a prayer after last episode where you absconded with the videotapes out, drove back to Carrefour, got pulled over for having a bullet hole in your windshield, and then before settling back into Cyril's apartment to look through some footage where you guys found out that the week before the hurricane, actually the night before the hurricane, Antoine was in fact in the Riverbend Blues Lounge. He appeared to have met with someone and then left. And someone that he met with, you guys have suspicions, is the true owner of the Riverbend Blues Lounge, or Rubble for short, as I've taken to calling it, the RBBL. After a little bit of research into the various people and Facebooks, Marcy pulling up several corkboards with strings and Polaroids, making connections, you guys had thought to look at the Riverbend Blues Lounge Facebook page, and searching among the connections there, you found that deep in the page of Clara Bell, the current accountant and bookkeeper for Riverbend Blues Lounge, she had liked a Leathertop LLC post. Clicking on that, you weren't led to the Leathertop LLC page. It looked like it had been renamed in the meantime into a New Orleans-based Jeep dealership, which prominently featured several Jeeps across the, well, not just Jeeps, but, you know, it's a, I think, Chrysler Jeep Dodge
Ram.
Yep. Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Yep. Now owned by Fiat.
All owned by Fiat. Yes, they were forced to be owned. Sorry, that's a joke that only people who know what Fiat means. So
correct.
You guys, that was the cut scene there, the ending scene of last episode. So I kind of wanted to ask what would they think after stumbling upon this?
So the first thing I think, at least Joel thinks of, is the pink Jeep, obviously. And he will begin to look up Ezra Blackburn on Facebook first, and then kind of work his way back from there. So sorry, start on Facebook, look up Ezra Blackburn, and then if we find a picture of him, go back to the tapes.
Yeah, you don't find anything on, I mean, you might find an Ezra Blackburn, but you find nothing about any Ezra Blackburns in or around New Orleans.
Okay.
Appears that this person has no Facebook presence.
Shit. Oh, something I did want to bring up last time, didn't get a chance to. We are living in New Orleans, or Louisiana. It gets rainy a lot. Joel has put a piece of tape over the bullet hole in his window. In addition, before doing that, he will have sent a picture of the bullet hole to his boss, Sammy, and been like, hey, is there any chance that we can try and order one of these so I can get this fixed? And then gone inside.
Yeah, so you'd probably done this before, where you had gone through all the tapes. And so at some point during the tapes, you got a text back from him with a thumbs up and saying, anything for my little ghost boy.
Oh boy.
Don't call me that.
that's what your name is in his contact list now.
Ghost boy. Little ghost boy.
You don't interact with Sammy a lot, but he does rib you a little bit for this. He's definitely a little more aloof, but yeah. I don't know what personality you had in mind with him.
I had none.
Yeah.
So.
Asshole it is.
Perfect. Understood. Like most bosses.
Like most bosses.
Steve, I know you listen to this. You're cool.
Wow.
That's my boss. That's Justin, literally my boss. Anyways, yeah, cool. He feels grateful for that. Then after we get to the point where we realize the Leather Top is a car dealership, he will ask about that to Sammy as well. Just but like off the cuff, like, hey, you ever heard of a Leather Top LLC? Seems to be some kind of Jeep dealership, question mark.
Yeah, so I would say that one thing is that you notice it's kind of like, I don't know if you guys remember in Facebook, but back when you would change the page name, the old URL would still say the same.
Oh my God, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so it is the Leather Top LLC URL, but all the page information is New Orleans Jeep Dodge Ram Chrysler. And it's got some New Orleans name. It's not, you know, generic, but so you could send them both that information.
Yeah, I'll do that for sure. Just like, hey, ever heard of a place called Leather Top? I guess it's now related to a Jeep dealership.
He texts back like a shrugging emoji. He says, doesn't ring a bell.
Damn.
He says, I could make a call, though, and ask.
Yeah, if you know anything, that'd be cool. Thank you. Send.
And let's see. Y'all had called Detective Virgil and asked him a little bit about Leather Top LLC and Riverbend Blues Lounge. Both, actually, before. And I think y'all had talked with him on the phone. You had told him about the line item that it was kind of sketchy and asked them to look into it. And so after both the hour of driving and a couple hours now of scrubbing through footage, you finally get a call back from Detective Marr. And he says, hey guys. He calls. Who does he like the most? He calls Cyril.
Wow. Wow.
In fairness, I did say a cab when he overheard us in the hospital so long ago right now.
Yeah.
And Joel's a shithead.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Cyril has also been openly against cops with y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's like, well, Cyril's probably the only mature one there. So I'll take my chances.
That is a correct statement.
And so he calls you up and he says, hey, guys. So just a little bit of looking at Leather Top and Riverbend. Not much. Like, honestly, it seems like they keep their noses pretty clean. There's nothing on Leather Top, you know, in terms of ownership or assets under management type of thing. It's vaguely holding companies. I don't know. I'm not an accountant. So we send those things off to, you know, state police to take a look at that sort of thing. But yeah, that's hard to say. Anyway, I got a little radio from Highway Patrolman telling me he had pulled over none other than the Phantom Finders, and he knew they were based out of my area. His old buddy from the academy. And he'd mentioned that y'all had a bullet in your windshield. A bullet hole.
Mm-hmm.
That son of a bitch.
It's a fucking small world, huh?
It is a small world. Especially, you know, among cops. Do you guys not, like, want to mention that to me? You guys want to share? Because I'm just going to be honest, it's a little suspicious that you guys call me about this sketchy thing you're looking into with, you know, thousands of dollars a month going into weird things, and you just happen to be driving home with the bullet hole. Do you guys want to share a little bit here? Am I not in the circle of trust?
Marcy's going to, like, motion for Zero to, like, mute the phone for a second.
He does.
Should we invite him over?
Boop, boop.
Just to look at the... And she gestures to, like, the Pepe Silvia while she's collated.
Hmm.
Should we not show him the wall?
Can we answer his question real quick? Can we just tell him we got shot at?
Yeah, that seems fine, yeah.
Yeah, we can tell him.
Okay, so he unmutes the phone and he says, listen, we was researching something and I think we struck a nerve and someone took a shot at us on our way out of the club, like leaving the club.
Someone from the Riverbend Blues Lounge took a shot at you?
Yes.
Okay.
At least that's what we assume.
Well, did you get a view of him? Or them, I guess? Do you have any description you'd like to share?
We chased him inside.
Oh, boy.
Okay, you chased him inside.
Cyril puts, like, the phone down and is like, Marcy.
I thought we were telling him.
We're not telling him the whole truth.
I have a hot gun, Marcy. We can't be doing this.
We can't tell him the whole truth. I was just going to say we got shot at leaving.
We'll get Galoma to put him under a geish again.
What? We can't just have Glomas be mind fucking people.
He's not a mind eraser.
I don't know.
Hey, guys, you hear him from on the phone. Guys,
I can barely hear you. It's very suspicious when you do this.
Cyril, you didn't mute it?
I didn't. I put the phone down like I'm from 1991.
Cyril, it's changed so much since then.
I'm in an episode of Diagnosed Murder right now, all right?
Cyril, it's 20...
My phone is an avocado green for a reason. Listen. Okay, well, I guess we're going to level with you. We got shot at. The shot hit Joel's precious Nissan.
Yeah, that's going to cost me a lot of money.
And to be honest, Detective, since we're all under the same shit here, I'm just tired of people shooting at me. So we went in the club. We asked him why he took a shot at us. He shot at us again, hit me, and then we shot him.
There's a palpable silence. And then you hear...
We have a name.
You hear a door close. And some yelling.
When you're so mad, you leave the phone on the table and walk away. And just...
He's with the whole sheriff's department in a room.
Wait.
Those fucking idiots! Oh my god!
Of all the people!
So as he comes back to the phone, he says, okay, you shot him.
We shot a guy. We shot a guy named Mark. And trust me,
Marcus.
Marks deserved to be shot.
Okay. All right. Marcus, you got a last name for me?
Johnson.
Marcus Johnson. Okay. I will keep an eye out for reports on that.
To be fair, it was in self-defense. Like, we did try to talk to him.
Yeah.
He had already shot at us once. And I told him, I said... Your last chance, my man. You're outnumbered. You just got to tell. We don't care. We just want to know why Antoine was up in here. And that motherfucker opened fire on us, clipped me on the wing. Mossy shot at him, and I shot at him, and I think I blew his pelvis out.
Okay. If you're going to go the self-defense route, please don't say that you chased him down after he shot at you, okay? I shouldn't be telling you this, but... That is not going to fly for self-defense, right?
Isn't Louisiana a stand-your-ground state?
Right.
Yes, you guys recognize that you went into the bar that he worked at.
Right. Well, we tried to talk to him.
Is that not how stand-your-ground works?
How about this? We went in there, tried to talk to him.
Do you want to bank on that is what I'm asking?
No.
We had an old-fashioned shootout. He drew first, shot at us, hit me, and then we shot him.
I'm fucking losing it the way Mark, the way Cyril is describing this.
I don't know what else you... I mean, that's the best I can come up with. Yeah, Chief, I don't know what else you want me to do.
Full on It's Always Sunny Frank describing.
Look, I'll get you a good lawyer if it comes to that.
I'm not going to need no lawyer.
Okay, all right.
This is going... They're not going to do anything, because what's going to happen... They're going to call the cops? That place is dirty as shit.
No, they're going to come to our houses, Cyril. If the cop knows us, they might know us.
They're welcome to.
So, okay, hang on. And you hear him typing into the computer. And he's like, well, I don't see anything on the blotter about Marcus Johnson. I didn't even see, gunshots reported here, but no, nothing. So, I don't know. How long ago was this?
It was 10 minutes ago.
That's not true.
it was what, 6 hours ago, maybe?
Yeah, we have been watching the tapes we stole.
We've been watching a lot of film. Tom Brady-ing at it.
Yeah, we definitely didn't steal their security footage.
Yeah, we did that too.
Yeah, that's another thing. If they have security footage that just happened to have gone missing.
Yeah, I also threatened a bunch of cooks.
But we know Antoine was there.
You need to stop telling me this stuff.
Hey, you wanted the truth.
Okay. So.
Should we just run stuff before we do it?
Wait. So you saw Antoine was there?
Yeah.
I mean, we knew that because you said you had the stamp, but when was he there?
Thursday.
Thursday before the hurricane. The day before the hurricane hit.
And maybe he tried to get back out before the hurricane?
He met some guy. We can't figure it out. We've only seen... a side profile and then the shadow, but we were at a loss.
Yeah. He went into some booth and they had drinks delivered there. And then the guy who went in there with him, in that booth with him, never came out, but then came in through the front door later. So something tanky going on with that booth in the back.
I mean, New Orleans having secret doors and stuff, that's kind of par for the course.
Real speakeasy kind of nonsense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's nothing about a Marcus Johnson, the police spotter in New Orleans.
That's great. Do you know what hospital he's in?
Nope. There, like I said, there's nothing there. I've got some, you know, gunshot wound victims, but no Marcus Johnson, no John Doe's either. So they're all ID'd, which suggests to me that, yeah, this place is probably not in the best of care. If they would have hidden the fact that a guy got shot pretty badly, I'm assuming. You said you blew out his hip.
I don't know, you
meant that literally or just...
No, I mean I really shot him right in the pelvis area.
Okay.
Crumpled.
All right, well...
8 points of damage, if that helps.
I think it was 6, but good to know, good to know. Okay, well, I will just keep my eye on that just in case things change, but...
Keep your eye out for this Blackburn character, by the way, too. They might be related or connected.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ezra Blackburn. Yeah, the Jeep guy. How do you think they're related?
The accountant with the dirty paperwork for the bar liked a post on Facebook for a Jeep dealership that has the Facebook profile that was originally under Leathertop LLC.
Oh, well, that is interesting. I will have to take a look at that and track some stuff down.
Actually, is there a way you can track VINs through the dealership?
Yeah. Yeah, you can just look up VINs.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
If you have the VIN.
No, sorry. Can you get the VIN from the dealership? If you or you get one of the New Orleans cops to go out there and you say, hey, we need a VIN for the pink Jeep you sold, can you get us a VIN?
They could.
There might be records for that, right?
There might be records, but think about it. If he's tied up in some of this strange stuff, I don't imagine that this is the type of place to just be giving that sort of information out.
Right. Plus, what would a VIN number get us, Joel?
You already have the guy's name, right?
We have the guy's name.
I don't know, man. I'm just going off what I've seen on Law & Order.
I gotcha.
Yes, and I think in my research on finding out who owned the pink Jeep, I did find the VIN, and yep, it's Ezra Blackburn.
Well, fuck. All right.
And didn't you find anything else on Ezra Blackburn, correct? Did you get an address?
No. Did you guys want me to?
Yeah. Why don't you dig a little deeper into that son of a bitch?
Okay.
No Facebook profile. Psychopath.
I don't know. In this current year, it's not that weird.
I just wonder why. I mean, I wonder why he was in Care 4.
That is the big question. So
he was in a hurry that day, too.
Yeah, he was in a hurry.
Let me get this straight. This is the first thing that happened to us. We were walking into City Hall. Could he have been leaving City Hall?
Hmm?
He was traveling from east to west.
Okay.
Along the...
Take it to the map.
Southern split. Or sorry, no, that would have been the northern split.
For the listeners at home, because I know clearly. What Care 4 is west of New Orleans, right?
Yes.
So he was potentially coming from New Orleans to somewhere else.
He could have been. Oh, that's right. So, no, he was not, because you were traveling from south to north. You were crossing from south to north to City Hall, and he blew past that light.
Okay, okay. What else was on that street that he could have been coming from?
Not a lot.
Which is City... Can you just tell me on this map that you have, which is City Hall?
This one is City Hall. Actually, I might need to mirror this, because City Hall should be over here. I'll talk to them about that on the map maker.
Oh, I didn't have Roll20 pulled up. All right, so this is City Hall?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, on this map.
For those, there's like a circle, almost like an oval of the town, and it splits into two separate lanes that kind of converge back into one more road from west to east, and there's a big-ass like Park Meridian, almost, and that's where City Hall is in the, we're saying, the westernmost side.
Yes.
So he would have been, there's no way he could have been coming from City Hall. Understood.
I mean, theoretically he could have, but it would be a weird...
He would have been doing a loop-de-loop.
Okay. Yeah, I think we should dig deeper into Ezra Blackburn. The other thing... Well, yeah. I don't want to keep you. detective. Why don't you dig into Ezra, see what you can find?
I can do a little searching, too.
Yeah, I will do some personnel searching, see what I can get you.
Tonight, I can see if I can maybe track him down, too.
Okay, that sounds good. Hey, try not to get shot at, and don't shoot anyone.
I'm not leaving my home, so understood.
No promises.
Before we go out and just do something like this again, should we just run it by you just in case? Not has no. legal counsel, but...
No.
It's actually probably better that you don't.
Right.
Right. Okay.
He doesn't want to know about all our killings.
For the record, we have not. We have not.
Well, we don't know about Marcus yet.
We have not. And she is just staring forward like, I don't want this on my conscience.
Right, Mousy. We have not killed anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yet.
Joel, at this point, you get a phone call.
It's Marcus Johnson.
I forgot I had his name saved.
Dead.
Yo, what up, Marky?
It's a Bill.
No, it's Clementine.
Yo, what up, Clem?
Hey. So, I am here at my office in the Daily Gator, and I just am here with a tourist, a visitor to town, who is interested in meeting with y'all to ask some more questions and do some interviewing about what's going on.
Is this code?
No, he's just here with me. And you hear someone in the background say, yeah, can you put him on speakerphone? No. I will. I'm sure they'll swing by.
One sec. Hey, guys. You want to take like a 30-40 minute break real quick and then come back to it with fresh eyes?
For what?
There's someone here who wants to interview us at Clem's office.
At this hour?
Who?
Man, it's like 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's like 6, 7.
Am I an owl? Who is it?
What's his name? Sterling wants to know his name.
His name is Bill Blank.
Oh.
Bill Blank. That's not Bill a real Blank. Fucking name.
Oh. Okay. All right. I'll politely decline that interview.
Oh, no.
You're going to decline the interview?
Well... Does that not sound like a made-up name to you, Joel?
It absolutely does, but...
Did you mention that I've traveled from very far to discuss this?
This dude sounds like a fucking dweeb. He's not gonna hurt us. Let's just go.
Didn't mention, no, but...
He sounds like a guy who goes to a Star Wars convention. Like, we can go.
Can he hear us right now?
No. No, right?
I don't think so.
You put the phone down like Cyril did earlier.
Perfect. I mean... Listen,
if you want us to go, Joel, I will gladly go with you.
I'm going to go. I just want to offer it to you guys at least.
I'll go with you, Joel.
All right.
Mossy, you going to come?
I might as well.
Cool.
Yeah, we should probably stick together.
My eyes are starting to hurt from staring at all this footage.
Yeah, just going back to something normal.
Yeah, just leave the tapes here. I'll take care of them.
All right, yeah. Hey, Clem, yeah, well, we're on our way. We'll be there in 15, 20. After this interview, I got to... ask you something.
Okay, that's great. I will see you shortly.
Sick, thanks. Hangs up.
Smash cut to you guys at the Daily Gator in Clementine's office. You see her sitting in a conference room. She waves you in as you come on in, and you're in a conference room, and you see a guy who looks to be in his early 40s wearing khaki cargo shorts, long white tube socks, New Balance sneakers, and a black shirt with a black and white logo. Looks like some letters with a globe next to it. Now that you are looking straight on him, you see that it reads Phenomen X. Phenomen-X. His long hair is drawn back into a greasy ponytail, and he has a laptop out and a notepad, and he stands up to shake your hands as you come in. And says, hi, my name's Bill Blank. Very good to meet you all.
Yeah, good to meet you. Wait. I think I've seen you around town a couple of times.
Yes, I think I saw you guys in the diner. I sent over an order of the eggs, but I think by the time they were ready, you guys had left, and also you had also had another order sent to you already. So
yeah, appreciate it for sure. I appreciate it at the very least. Yeah, no, Joel will shake his hand. Joel, obviously.
Yes, I'm familiar. Again, Bill Blank is my name.
It's nice to meet you. What's up, Bill?
Well, as soon as I saw the footage that you had produced and ran it through my own custom electromagnetic processing spectral diagramming analysis software to determine that, in fact, this was legitimate and verifiable, I decided to make the trip to Care 4. I believe I got in here early. I think I might have been one of the first people to recognize how important this was and how unique an opportunity this presented because of the research that I do. And he gestures to his shirt as he says that I assume that you all, being in the paranormal community, are familiar with Phenomenex.
Are we?
That is entirely up to you. You could roll for it, or you could just decide whether or not you know, depending on your level of interest.
It is intensely funny to me if we all look to each other and go, who?
Never heard of you. Yeah. I'm going to say no to Cyril. Cyril does not know who this is.
I'm going to give it to a coin flip because Joel is very into ghosts, more specifically. Okay. So I'm going to say one yes, two no. He is not.
Okay. As you all sort of give Blank looks and hems and haws, he says, it's fine. Perhaps the ghost hunting world has not truly advanced into the modern understandings of paranormal phenomenon. I understand from looking at some of your backlogs that, well, let's just say not all of your footage was legitimate. Can we be honest here?
Yeah, foot's in the door is foot in the door, I guess. Yeah, no.
I think Cyril gets offended by that, honestly. Because I think it is legitimate. We just set it up in a way so that it looks illegitimate.
Yeah, that's fair. It doesn't pass his special spectral analysis. That's what I'll say.
Cyril's not using AI for anything or anything like that. CGI, those kind of things.
He says, now, if you're being unfamiliar with Phenomenex, we primarily focus on alien research, UFOs, abductions, cattle mutilations, these sorts of phenomenon. However, there is a growing interest in ghosts and spirits and poltergeists. Now, of course, I understand this phenomenon better than most people. Ghosts are 4D projections of alien creatures from potentially alternate timelines, but more likely alternate places in space and time, who are attracted to various locuses of power and that sort of thing. But you know, it's interesting. In my research, as I was flying over here, I got the Wi-Fi on Southwest, and it struck me that Care 4 is just not exactly known for any paranormal activity. It's not been a hotbed of information, unlike other places where these things tend to happen. Parts of Florida, Nevada, Wyoming, Nebraska, these sort of more famous. Obviously New Orleans with its hauntings. However, it never seemed to have progressed to Care 4. You got the candy company and you've got the little bit of a shipping hub that I was kind of shocked to see that there wasn't a long history of UFO and alien sightings, which you would expect alongside ghost, especially such a robust ghost footage as you have. So I need to ask you some questions. And he pulls out he moves this laptop over and pulls his legal pad and holds up the pen. And he says, now at any point did any of you come in contact with the ghost?
Hold on right here, Bill. Where are you from?
Well, says, I am based out of Wyoming.
Wyoming. Oh, my parents live up there. Beautiful country up there. We have already given interviews. I'm just curious as to why we should give you another.
Well, no offense, but the interview you gave for WCLA was, it was nice for getting to know you a little better, but in terms of the actual phenomenon, it was not cataloged well. And again, with the understanding of ghosts that most people have, of course, it's not going to be cataloged properly, according to the standards that, we set over at Phenomenex.
By we set, do you mean just you?
He says, me and my team of four moderators.
How many?
it varies as people join and leave based off, you know, personal availabilities.
How many average views do you get on your page?
We have an average of 5,000. 5,000?
Yearly?
A month?
Okay.
Better than I thought you were going to say.
I would submit that the ones that we have are very dedicated and passionate.
I mean, here's the issue, Bill, is what makes you think we weren't going to do what you're going to do?
It says, oh, so yeah, you guys have my proprietary 4D spectral analyzers?
We don't need any of that mumbo-jumbo nonsense to release anything.
Yeah, you're talking about aliens, man.
You do need that if you're going to understand and geolocate where the intrusions are coming, whether it's from alternate timelines or from somewhere deep in space. You would absolutely need this.
Well, that may be true. That may be true. We would need that mumbo-jumbo for that kind of thing. But I don't think we need to have a full spectral analysis of the universe in order to release ghost footage to the general public.
Of course you don't need it to release ghost footage, but in documenting this verifiable contact with something paranormal, it must be examined from every side. If you guys aren't comfortable answering these questions, you could just tell me where Carrefour Manor, or where Florizon Manor is, and I can go and run all the analysis there.
You can't go to Florizon. We don't own it.
It's also just plain not safe. I fell through the fucking floor.
Yeah, I mean...
Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you, Bill. Ghosts are my hard cut. Like, your 4D alien alternate timeline stuff's getting a little out there. Tell you what, I'll consult with my friends here, but I'm willing to answer questions. At the caveat, you can't post anything until after we do.
You guys, no, this isn't for public dissemination. This is my encyclopedic documentation of these phenomenon.
He just wants it for his own science.
Yes.
Oh, this is for your personal research.
Yes. Now, there are a handful of forum members who might get access to some of the data. Some of the spectral analysis occasionally needs extra computing power and just to run some of these models. It's it can be very, very big when you're dealing with all of space, but we have a few sort of hot spots that we like to look at. So, again, I ask, did the ghost touch any of you?
Can we have a moment? Can we have a moment, Bill? You kind of came at us all at once here in kind of a rage.
Okay.
Just a rage of stuff. I know that you're coming on very strong right now.
You've traveled a very far distance to get here.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
I only have so much PTO from my job, and so this is kind of my only shot, and I'm flying back tomorrow morning, so...
Tomorrow morning?
Well, I gotta leave tomorrow morning to get the flight, and... So I only have, really, tonight.
Okay. So it sounds like you can wait the 2 minutes for us to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think you'll be okay.
Okay, sure. And he looks at Clementine. So, do you have a vending machine here? She says, yeah, it's just around the corner. He says, okay, I'll be right back.
You want to talk to this guy, Joel?
When he leaves, Joel will open, like, just peek around the door to see if he's actually going to a vending machine or if he's just right outside the door.
He does. It's a sort of open window conference room, and you see him head down the hallway and turn a corner.
I look for listening devices that he's planted.
Yeah.
We are so fucking paranoid. I love it.
You can make a search roll.
Okay.
Listen, like, yeah, I'll talk to him. Like, what?
91 over 20.
Jesus Christ.
Nice. Marcy, you look at his computer, and it's like, it's its own, like, Linux distro.
Man's running Ubuntu.
Yeah. And you're like, well, I mean, I could take a look. He's taking all the notes in Vim.
Marcy's just like, this guy's fucking dweeb. Nuts.
One listener really laughed hard at that.
Yeah, it's the one that I just called a dweeb to on accident.
Joel, what's the purpose in us divulging all this to this wacko?
Either we give him bullshit, and he looks at Clementine too, because he can't go there.
No.
As much as I don't like it, he's weirdly right.
What? What is he right about?
I don't fucking, like... Eh.
We need to get his space mumbo-jumbo thing figured out for him?
No, I don't believe the space mumbo-jumbo thing, but... what the fuck is Glomus?
He's a ghoul. We've already established that.
Yeah, what the fuck is a ghoul, Cyril?
Clementine is looking at you guys, and she's like, yeah. What are you... What?
What? Huh? And she gets like this weird, vague look on her face, and she's like, I have a headache.
Yeah, Clementine, it's fine. We're talking in tongues. That didn't sound like Donnie from the Wild Thornberries. All right, listen, Clementine, I'm going to ask you. You had, obviously, the hardest time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's fair to say.
He's a fucking psycho. Yes. I don't trust him. No. What am I telling him? Yes, we had contact with a real ghost. Yes, we talked to a real ghost. Yes, that place is haunted. No, you can't go. No, there's nothing else. What does that give us other than peace of mind that he's not going to go?
I don't know. Should I tell him that the ghost touched me?
No.
That's what I thought. He's been very... I'm not going to say he's been harassing, but...
Creepy?
Creepy, weird. Just...
Insistent?
I don't know. Insistent.
Has he showered recently? It stinks in here.
No, he's not dirty, I don't think. The stink might be just the stench of truth that we published. No.
She stands up prominently like an old propaganda poster.
No, he's definitely... he's an odd one, but... I don't think he's, like, bad. I think he's just focused and determined and, again, insistent is a good word.
Should we say we made it up?
No, we're not going to say we made it up.
That would be the funniest option.
That would be the funniest
option. That would be the funniest option.
It's all made up. It's all fake. Then again, he could discredit us.
Yeah.
With what?
5,000 viewers.
Dude, with his mumbo jumbo machine.
Also, let's be real. If we say it's not real, he's weird enough that he will go. If he doesn't believe us.
All right. Listen, I don't like him. I think we should be cagey with him.
Yeah. My only question, Clementine, Cyril, Marcy, you guys are kind of doing the edits more than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere in that video, in the special that's going to air, have we mentioned it touched Clem or Clem had any interaction with the ghost?
Yeah, I think even in my interview, I mentioned that one of our members disappeared.
I don't think you said she disappeared. She just had a rough go of it.
I don't think you explicitly mentioned that she disappeared. And the footage has already aired. And I don't believe that you guys included the salt circle part of it.
Yeah, one of us got possessed by the ghost and then vanished into not a pile of dust.
Right. Yeah. Vanished into a pile, unlike a pile of dust. So I would say that, no, there's no extant evidence that a ghost has... that any of you have been ghost touched.
Okay. How about this? I will say, yes, I touched it. Clementine, you lie. It did not touch you.
Okay. All right.
Sound good?
Option 4? Eyes narrow? Close?
No.
What?
Listen, we'll talk about it later.
Do you want me to tell him that I shot the ghost?
Clementine's eyes go wide.
I think that would be very interesting to see his reaction.
I might do it just to see the look on that nerd's face.
Absolutely, Cyril. I'm
very sorry about all this.
Okay, should I lean out and yell at him? He can come back in? Or
just tell him to come back in, that big nerd.
Okay, all right. She leans out and is like, hey, we're ready to talk a little bit.
Joel, one more time before she does that, says, like, reaffirms with everyone. The three of us encountered it. It touched me, didn't touch Clem. Understood? Everyone good?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Perfect. Yep.
He comes back and he's got a Coke Zero and Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Good combo. Nerd.
Good combo.
It says, all right, I am ready to go. And he pulls out the pad and pen and says, okay, so listen, did any of you get touched by the ghost?
Yes.
Okay, who?
Me.
Okay, excellent.
Clementine fully disappeared. I'm just kidding.
I just grabbed my face. Glomus.
I thought you were... We just Glomus this guy into a stroke. Yeah.
Filled. I was so mad. Like, immediately.
Oh, he says, okay, so you were touched by the ghost. Did you have any temporal or spatial distortion when you were touched by the ghost?
No.
Okay, you stayed in the same place. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, did the ghost attempt to take possession of your body?
No, at least not that I know of.
When you say that, you think back to the actual hunt, and you think that may not actually be true.
Oh, that is true. That is fair.
Do you want to roll like a bluff here? Is there?
Joel will. I totally forgot about it.
Do you want to change your answer?
No. Joel will change his answer. Joel wants to be honest about what he experienced with him in that instance. He just wants to keep the guy away from the house as much as possible. So he will change his answer. Joel will say, yeah, I think so, but it didn't do anything.
Okay. Well, that's good. That just speaks to your temporal and spatial grounding. He says, he leans over and reaches into his bag, and he pulls out the little kind of, it looks like a radio wave scanner. And he says, could you just put your fingers right here and here? There are two like little antenna pointing up. He says, just the tips of your fingers. Just we can get a little bit of a reading on your groundedness. It gives us an idea of if there's a correlation between this and people who have been possessed or a tendency to be possessed. It's just, again, another little drop in the bucket.
Yeah, sure, buddy. Then he'll lick each of his fingers and put them on the antenna.
Okay.
You take 1d10 damage.
Okay, so you rank as he sees it go up just a little bit, and he says, oh, yeah, you're very solidly grounded. It's sort of low frequencies. I mean, that's something that is usually for people who've spent years meditating and that sort of thing. It's impressive.
Well, Joel's head kind of cocks just a little bit.
Wizard moment.
Yeah, in fact, Joel, given what's happened, I think you're going to need to make a little sanity check, because you have now been given external verifiable evidence of something that you have.
All right. Yeah, I will roll that sand. Nice. 69.
Nice. Okay. So nothing happens.
Even though it is above me, auto pass.
Yep. With the 69, you take that little information, and maybe your burgeoning narcissism just is kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm hot shit. What do you mean burgeoning? He's had the narcissism.
I was going to say.
It's just the narcissism is founded now. That's the issue now.
Oh, boy.
So he says, oh, well, excellent. These readings are, I mean, that's really impressive. And he takes a few notes. He says, you just like ask you a few other things like your age and your birthday, not your year, but he just wants to know your birthday. Handful of other like little personal things. Nothing super intrusive, but more than you might feel comfortable with. But any sort of pushback that you give, he's like, this is very important for the data that I'm collecting, you understand. And he says, I would like to get a reading of everyone's groundedness with this meter. Is that something that you could do? I mean, if you didn't touch the ghost, it's a little bit less accurate because it doesn't calibrate correctly if you've never had any exposure to these sort of dimensional entities. He looks around kind of like holding it out for other people.
Joel like puts his hand out like, Cyril, Marcy, go ahead, please indulge him, like smiling.
I did touch a ghost.
Sorry, you did touch a ghost?
I did, and I shot a ghost.
You shot a ghost. Okay.
I saw it happen. He did.
Oh, now this is hard to believe. Mr. I believe in aliens come down, make ghosts. You can't believe that ghosts could get shot.
Okay. That would be like shooting a movie screen and it hitting the actual actor who filmed that part. Do you understand?
So glad I got to see that happen then. That's a one in a trillion chance? Quadrillion chance?
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Fucking crazy.
It was manifesting some sort of corporeal form. I mean, anything could happen, right?
When you say it was manifesting a corporeal form, his face drops and he says, you guys aren't taking me seriously. This is...
No.
No. Okay. Well, listen. Fine. I guess I got to go recalibrate my machine because clearly I was sorely mistaken and this was a waste.
That's fine. But I'm just going to let you know before you fly back to Wyoming that you're the one who's not taking us seriously. So you can run off to Wyoming and go calibrate your machine or whatnot, but you wanted the truth, and we decided to give it to you, and now you're going to shit all over us?
Do you have any proof that you shot this ghost?
Cyril, do you still have the bullet casing?
I have the bullet. I have the gun. I mean...
None of which is proof, you understand. It's evidence, sure. You're building the case, but...
Cyril will look at Joel
and at Marcy.
Marcy. If Marcy could be, she would be shaking her head violently right now. Do not pull out the fucking organizer.
He'll give that eyeball, like, should I tell this motherfucker that I have a ghost trapped in a crystal matrix?
I don't think Joel can contain it, and he wants to play with this guy. He's like, do you have it on you?
Oh, what?
Motherfucker.
Oh, what? I do not have the crystalline matrix that I trapped a ghost in when I shot it in the fucking head. I don't have that on me right now.
Yeah, Bill, do you know what Orgonite is?
Yes, I'm aware of what Orgonite is.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah, he doesn't want to see it. He doesn't believe us anymore.
No, because he doesn't...
Fly
he
back thinks to we're... Wyoming. Goodbye.
I'm sorry. You are claiming that you... First off, you claim that you shot the ghost, and now you claim that you captured it inside of Orgonite. I would be happy to do some readings on it. That might actually be something that would be pretty impressive if you've managed to capture a 4D entity inside an Orgonite crystal. This would be unprecedented, to say the least. I would need to, of course, run my own analysis on it, but listen, your footage is good enough that I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Blank. I appreciate your benefit of the doubt. I really do.
You're very welcome. He doesn't read your sarcasm at all.
Marcy is just staring at them like, what the hell?
I said we were going to be honest.
Yeah. This little antagonistic motherfucker, like, that's what Cyril's thinking.
So, do you want to go run, grab it, and I can run the test on it?
How about you come over to my place? And you can come and you can look at the Orgonite all you want. I'll even show you the gun. I'll show you the casing.
We gotta take down our research.
Well, he doesn't have to go to my living room. He can be in my studio.
Okay, that is true.
Okay.
Would you like to come over to Image Maker Studios, Mr. Bill Blank, if that's your real name?
When you say that, he's like, yes, I would like to go. Why would you think that wasn't a real name? That's my real name.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Motherfucker got his birth certificate changed to Bill Blank.
Bill Blank, yeah.
Cool. So, Marcy, would you like to come with us?
Her mouth is just open like she wants to say something and is just staring at Clementine like, can you believe this shit they just did?
Joel has the biggest shit in grin right now. He is enjoying toying with Bill.
Cyril's just, he's like mad now because this little shit came in, didn't believe a goddamn word he said, and now he's mad about it.
This is exactly like that dude that Dan made for that one game. Or he didn't make him, but it was like some bastard who made his own version of the Dewey Decimal System.
No.
And we bounced off that guy so bad.
Noah, I didn't make that guy, and this is that guy.
This is that guy.
This is literally that guy.
He is him.
Yeah, he is him. Him is he.
God.
That's why when he said Bill Blank, I lost my mind.
All right, let's go.
Cool. Yeah, so there's an orange Z. Follow it.
Okay. As he's packing up all of his things, Clementine discreetly grabs the little tester that he was using for Joel and checks it, and she notices that her reading goes all the way to the top, maxes out the bar, and she doesn't say anything, but then hands it to him. So where Joel's had been incredibly low...
Near the bottom, yeah.
Hers was off the charts.
So she's not as quote-unquote grounded as Joel.
Yes.
She's off the charts. Got it. So we go to Image Maker Studio.
Yes, we go to Image Maker Studio.
And we're in the main lobby. You know, all my camera equipment set up, my scenes and whatever else I have in there for portraits, family portraits, and whatever people may need. And I guess he comes down from his apartment with the Orgonite, the gun, and the shell, or the casing.
All right, he pulls out his laptop and he plugs in a little USB, and it leads to what looks like a little like motherboard type of outfit that has above it sort of like mounted on it, like almost like a Raspberry Pi looking thing. And then mounted on that is like a little piece of almost glass with a light under it that points up into another sheet of some material so that there's a gap between the glass and the material that the light is projecting under.
and the lights hooked up into the motherboard Raspberry Pi that's hooked up to his computer. And the whole thing is about maybe 8 by 10 and then probably 6 inches high. As he puts it all together, he's like, no, if you could just place just the Organite on here. And he begins running some programs in his computer and presses the space bar. And you see the text on his computer begin to run. And after maybe 30 seconds, the light shining up through the crystal increases in brightness, and it continues to increase until the flashlight that is powering it, the bulb, actually explodes. And it sends his computer into a sort of failure, and he gets a bunch of text across. Like, if you've ever had like a graphics card die or like a motherboard die, and you just have like text on your screen, it goes crazy. And he just like starts to panic. He's like, I don't understand. What's that? Shouldn't have happened. I just, mm-hmm. just like that.
You believe us now?
This is no. This should have given us some indication of where this. He just looks like really frustrated. He's like, I don't.
Did the Organite change at all?
The light shone up through it really brightly, but there was didn't seem like anything changed. You all could make, like, actually, you all have unnatural rolls now, so why doesn't everyone make me an unnatural roll?
Oh, first unnatural roll? Let's go.
Oh, nope. I'm so worried.
Ooh.
Ooh, so close.
Narcy got real close.
19 over 4.
But everyone else failed by a significant margin.
By a large margin, yeah.
But all of you, with just your sort of burgeoning unnatural, definitely felt a little bit of something as that light shone up through it, almost like the light was acting, almost, you know, the pyramidal shape of the Organite would sort of diffract light, you know, normally as a prism would, but this seemed to be concentrating the light, and it almost like concentrated and reflected it back, which is not something you might expect from Organite. And everyone, actually, on seeing this, will have to make a sanity roll, including, I guess, Clementine, it came over too, right?
If she wanted. I mean,
I don't see why she wouldn't have. She's got an interest in this now.
Success for me.
Okay, so all the successes are zeros and all the failures are ones.
So everyone but Cyril.
Yep. So just mark that. I assume no one's hitting breaking points on that.
Not yet.
Okay, you're getting close, though, huh?
I'm 6 away.
No, you're fine.
I'm one all bad right, right. forever. One bad time.
So as this happens, and Bill Blank looks at his computer, he says, listen, I now have to rebuild this. Looks like it's maybe completely broken. It's cost me quite a bit of money and time developing this. I don't know.
Oh, good.
And you just look, he looks confused, dejected, bewildered, and not upset. Mostly the sort of confused, where he had been getting a little antagonistic towards y'all. He is now sort of, looks like a man who has been defeated.
I'm sorry, Bill.
From one know-it-all to another, you don't know it all the time.
Well, unfortunately, that means that even if I could go to the manor, most of my equipment has to run through the laptop, which appears to be dead. So, not much I can do about that now. And he sort of dejectedly begins packing things and says, well, thank you for your time. And if you do want to join Phenomenex, just use referral code Bill and it'll get you.
Referral code.
You get a referral.
It'll get you free premium Bill. Access for 3 months.
Oh my gosh. Listen, Bill, before you leave, I don't know what you just did to my Organite, but if I was you, I wouldn't keep that computer.
Okay. I was just doing a 4D spectral analysis to determine the provenance of the energies and dimensionalities.
Yeah. I know what you said you were doing, but don't keep that computer. Just get rid of it. Don't connect it to anything else. Just to be on the safe side.
Okay.
Ghost in the machine and all that?
Yeah.
He says, sorry, I don't watch anime.
That, we that's know that's not true, Bill.
Astonishing, sir.
We know that's what? Not true.
Also, it's Shell, you ignoramus.
Anyways, you were saying.
Just get rid of that computer.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Because despite what you may think, we did really encounter a ghost. I did press the organite to her incorporeal flesh and shoot her in the head at the same time. And when I did that, this crystal turned white.
I believe you. I have no choice but to believe you. This is unprecedented. I don't even know if I can share this with the inner circle.
Okay. You let us know if you get any readings around town, though, will you? Because I'm interested in you maybe helping us in terms of what you think Care For is all about.
He says, okay, yeah. I mean, well, it's an interesting history, I guess. That's fine. He kind of like mopes as he heads back out to his rental car. He's like,
the Sedona of the Bayou is what I'll yell at him in the background.
Okay. And as he heads out, Noah, Marcy actually gets a phone call.
It rings and she answers it. Well, she looks at the caller ID.
It's a number you know. It's your therapist, Chelsea Wynn.
Oh, sweet. Okay. She'll pick an unusual time, but all right.
Hey, Marcy. Sorry for ringing so late. I had an odd session today, and I don't know. It's just with everything that's been going on, I thought maybe y'all might actually want to look into this. I had one of my patients come in, younger child, 14-year-old boy, who has been having severe night terrors. And they are all revolving around ghosts and ghost possessions, that sort of thing. Ghosts in his room. Now, normally, you know, we work through this sort of therapy, but most of the normal sort of suggestions he did not take kindly to. So after discussing with his parents, I thought maybe if we could get the Phantom Finder. I know this is extremely unorthodox, but I thought maybe if we could get the Phantom Finders over there, they could do a little phantom finding, do a little exercising, and get this kid back on track. What do you think?
Absolutely. I can see if the boys would love to help a child get over their fear. Absolutely. I'll get back to you on that tomorrow morning.
That would be great. Thank you so much, Marcy. Yeah, just the weirdest thing. You know, this kid complaining about, you know, some scary monster ghost trying to attack him while he sleeps. It's been a little odd, but I think you guys are great for this. I think, you know, unconventional therapy, but we live in unconventional times.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I will talk to you in the morning.
Talk to you then. Bye. And click. She turns to Cyril and Joel. Fucking kid is haunted by a ghost, maybe, or something.
Is he having nightmares? Did he just watch the show?
Maybe. There's only one way to find out.
And we'll have to find out next time, because that's where we're going to end for tonight.
Yes.
Oh, poor Billy boy.
Good at fuck Bill, but
fuck that guy.
Thank you once again for tuning in to Chaos Springs Eternal Presents Season 1, City of Woe. This is a Delta Green actual play. Shout out to Arc Dream Publishing for putting out Delta Green. It's my favorite role-playing system. So thank you to those guys, and thank you to all of you for listening. Please make sure that you go rate and review us on iTunes or your podcast app of choice. I know Google Podcasts is wrapping up here soon, so RIP. We are going to start putting these out to YouTube as well, so make sure you go check our check the link in the show notes and go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube for when that happens. Every little bit helps, guys. We really appreciate the feedback that we've been getting. make sure you email us once you've done your review, and if you give us an NPC name, we'll happily incorporate them. We are going to have more characters join us in Care 4. So thank you for listening, and thank you to Pawns or Kings for Cositus. That's our theme song, and let's listen to the rest of it now. The eyes of corpses have no glow. Made these chains just for myself. Rambling about my mental health. Demons on this. Do you guys want security post? I can't believe I'm saying this. Do you guys want to stay at my house and not be in your own homes?
I love the idea of all of us staying in a cop's house and just doing crazy shit. We're all like sleeping on the floor on airbeds. We're building forts.
Yeah, I also have a roommate. He can't live alone. Can he show up to
We're all just living in his house. Oh, fuck.
It becomes an episode of the Brady Bunch. With Detective Marr's house.
Glomis and Kian meet for the first
time. Oh my god, cheaper by the dozen.
Mossy, mossy, mossy.
Oh my god. Only your crystal tears to give. No coming spring, no coming thaw. Nothing but death, it's gaping maw. I need the fires of your light. Need to be rescued from the night. Can you hear me? Past the sinister.